Well, last week, Pastor taught a message that he titled, "The Name of Jesus is Everything." Amen. And he taught us that everything that we need is in the name of Jesus. Well, today, I want to talk about the fact that there is victory in the name of the Lord. Amen. That is Jehovah Teshua, the Lord, my victory. Hallelujah. So the title of my message today is Fighting to Win. And I want to highlight 4 points or raise 4 points that will help us learn how to fight to win our battles. Amen. Everyone in this room, I'm sure, has gone through something or will go through something that you may feel like it's a big problem, and you may feel like it's too big for you to handle. We've all either been there, or if you live long enough, you will be there. Well, you'll face something that you feel like is too big for you to handle. It appears as a giant. And in this context, a giant is something that the enemy brings in your life to create loss, death, and destruction. In John 10:10, the Bible says the enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? He wants to bring loss, death, and destruction. When those things come into our life, they appear as a giant in our lives. But what did Jesus say? He said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." Therefore, we must learn to fight those giants in a way to defeat them. Amen. So how do we fight to win? How do we fight to win against our giants? There's a man, actually Pastor talked about it a little bit last week. But there's a man in the Bible who, at a very young age, learned how to fight in a way to defeat his giants. Amen. As a matter of fact, he started off his career winning one of the most popular and most famous battles in the history of our world. And even if you're not a Christian, you've heard the story of David and Goliath, and people use it as an example all the time. So turn with me to 1 Samuel, and we're going to look at verse 17. And I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm going to summarize parts of it and read parts of it. But in the beginning of the story, the Philistine army was camped on one hill. The Israelite army was camped on another hill, and there was a valley between them. And they were ready. They were preparing to fight one another. But then, as they were preparing to fight one another, something happened. Something major happened. So let's look at 1 Samuel, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 11. You can put that up in the HCSB. 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 4. And it says, "Then a champion named Goliath from Gath came out from the Philistine camp. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall and wore a bronze helmet, a bronze scale armor that weighed 125 pounds. There was bronze armor on his shins, and a bronze sword was slung between his shoulders. His spear shaft was like a weaver's beam, and the iron point of his spear weighed 15 pounds. In addition, a shield bearer was walking in front of him. He stood and shouted to Israel, to Israelite battle formation, 'Why do you come out to line up in the battle formation?' He asked them, 'Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose one of your men and have them come out against me. If he wins the fight against me and kills me, we will be your servants. But if I win the fight against him and kill him, you will be our servants and serve us.' Then the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel today. Send me a man so we can fight each other.' When Saul and all Israel heard this from the Philistine, they lost their courage and were terrified." Right? Sometimes problems arise in our lives that appear to be too big for us to handle. That's my first point. They appear too big for us to handle. In this story, a huge problem arose by the name of Goliath. The Bible said that he was a champion. He was a giant. He was over 9 feet tall by anybody's standards. He was a giant of a man. He was a big problem for the Israelites. And this reminds me of the 2016 NBA Finals, when the Cleveland Cavaliers were playing against the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors were the defending champions. That year, they won the most games in NBA history in a regular season. And they came into that series looking like giants. And then, to make matters worse, they came out and got a 3-1 lead over the Cavs. Everybody knows this. They got a 3-1 lead over the Cavs. And then it just looked like it was impossible. Everybody, myself included, I was one person. In game four, halfway through, they was getting blown out. I was like, I hate the Cavs. I'm not going to be a Cleveland fan no more. I hate basketball. I was so mad. And I'm sure all you were like, I thought they were going to lose. And I'm sure most of us thought they were going to lose. But the Cavs had something, someone on their team. They had a secret weapon. And the Golden State Warriors did not have that player on their team, amen? I'm going to let that just resonate for a little while. So they appeared as a giant. They had a 3-1 lead. The Cavs came back and won. Amen? Hallelujah. When the Cavs went up against Golden State, they felt like beating them, or we feel like as fans, beating them was insurmountable. Just like with the Warriors, Goliath came against the Israelites, and it looked like beating him was insurmountable. The devil sent him to attack them. He wanted to kill, steal, and destroy. There may be some of you here today that are dealing with something that you feel like that. You feel like it's too big, or there might be somebody listening. You feel like you're dealing with something that's too big for you to handle. Giants can be extremely scary. But anything that comes into your life that is meant to produce loss, death, and destruction is from the enemy. It's a giant that's from the enemy. So therefore, we have to learn how to fight our giants in a way to win. Amen? So let's go back to our story. In verses 12 to 21, I'm not going to read, but David's father told him to take some provision to his brothers and the military general that they were serving under. So he's supposed to go to the battle, take some provision to his brothers. So let's look at verse 22. It says that David left his supplies in the care of the quartermaster and ran to the battle line. When he arrived, he asked his brothers how they were doing. So this is what his father told him to do. So he was doing what his father told him. While he was speaking with them, suddenly the champion named Goliath, the Philistine from Gath, came forward from the Philistine battle line and shouted his usual words, which David heard. When all the Israelite men saw Goliath, they retreated from him, terrified. This leads me to my next point. How do we fight to win? In order to fight to win, point two, you cannot run away from your problems and expect to win. You can't run away from your giants and expect to beat them. If we want to fight to win, we must first be bold enough to stand up and fight. Amen? When I was a freshman in high school, there was a bully. And he was a bigger kid. He was bigger than most of us. And he liked to pick on the smaller kids. I happened to be one of the smaller kids. But back then, some of my friends used to call me Deacon Brian, nobody ever messed with me, and I think they might have just been afraid because who was on my side, they just knew, like, you don't mess with the Deke, they just knew it, so I didn't get picked on, but he did like to pick on some of the smaller kids, and so one day, we were in the gym area, and he was just messing with this kid and messing with him and messing with him, and he wouldn't leave him alone. The kid tried to walk away, and the bully kept on pursuing him. So eventually the kid turned around, punched him in his face. The dude fell down. He jumped on top of him and started hitting him. Just like in the movies when you see that, like boom, boom. He just hitting him. And of course, it wasn't one of us who was about to help the bully, right? So this kid is beating on him until the commotion got so loud that one of the teachers came, ran out, grabbed the kid off of him. From that day forward, that dude did not bully another kid because someone was brave enough to stand up and fight against him. And he beat that bully down, and that bully became a defeated foe. Amen? 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, Be alert and sober, of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. The devil is a bully. He's trying to bully our lives. He's trying to tear our lives apart. And I can just sense in my spirit that God is tired of us letting the devil bully us. He's tired of us allowing the devil to bring loss, death, and destruction. He's going to try to bring it. He's going to bring some scary stuff up in your life. But too many of us are allowing those things to take us out the game too early. We're allowing those things to not allow for us not to get to the place and the level of life that God wants us to get, the abundant life that God wants us to have. Amen. He said, "You will trample the lion." The devil, he walks around prowling like a lion. But the Bible promises us that we will trample him underfoot. Amen. 2,000 years ago, our big brother punched a lion in his face, crushed his head. Amen. And now he's a defeated foe. So we got to be willing to stand up against him. We got to be willing to stand and fight. Amen. Now, that's a part of it. You got to be willing to stand up and fight. But remember those guys in Acts, and Pastor talked about this last week. There was a group of guys, and they decided that they wanted to cast out a demon. So they found a demon-possessed man, and they went to him, and they said, "In the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, come out of this man." And the demon-possessed man looked at them and said, "Jesus, I know. I've heard of Paul. Who are you?" And then he jumped on them and beat them down. And so the first thing we have to do is be willing to fight, not to be afraid to fight our giants, right? Our problems. But then we have to move past that. If we want to learn how to fight to win, we have to learn that we don't, this is my third point, we don't fight the way the world fights. We do not fight our battles the way the world fights them. Amen? So let's go back to our story. In verse 25 to 31, I'm not going to read that either, but David was, so we left David. He was talking to his brothers. He was talking to some of the guys there. So he's talking to them, and all of a sudden he hears Goliath saying some craziness. And he's like, "Did y'all hear that?" And they're like, "What? Please tell me somebody heard that." He's like, oh, you mean him. That's Goliath. He's a giant. And I'm scared, and I was about to run away right before you came and stopped me. So please, I'm really scared of him, right? So they were scared of this dude, and they was like, "You scared of him?" He was like, "Yeah, I'm scared, and I'm about to run away. Can you please get out of my way?" Right? So they was like, didn't I hear y'all saying something about Saul said something? I don't know. They're like, "Oh, yeah, he said whoever beats this dude, he gonna give him some money." He said, "He gonna make it so they don't have to pay taxes for the rest of their life, and you gonna get his daughter." They was like, wait. Bring that back to me one more time, right? He said, "You gonna get a lot of money, your family not gonna have to pay taxes forever, and you gonna get his daughter, the fine one, you know, the one that look real good." And David was like, "And all I gotta do is beat him?" He said, "Go tell Saul right now that I'm going to fight him. Go, hurry up. You want to run away? Go tell Saul, hurry up, and tell him to remember what he said too, right? Because I'm not scared." Now, if you're going to read the story, it's not going to read quite like that. Paraphrase a little bit. But David was mad. He did not like somebody defying his God. And then on top of that, he knew he could beat him. On top of that, Saul said, "You could have his fine daughter." David was like, "Okay. Y'all better hurry up because I'm about to go out there. If y'all don't get Saul, I'm going to be out there already," right? Amen. So let's read. Let's go to verse 32. And it says, I'm going to read up to verse 39. It says, "David said to Saul, 'Don't let anyone be discouraged by him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine.' But Saul replied, "You can't fight this Philistine. You're just a youth, and he's been a warrior since he was young." David answered Saul, Your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it. I struck it down, and I rescued the lamb from his mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur and strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Amen. Then David said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul had some of his own military clothes put on David. He put a bronze helmet on David's head and had him put on armor. David strapped his sword on over the military clothes and tried to walk, but he couldn't because he never used them before. He said, I can't use these. I've never used them before. So David took them off. Amen. So first, I want to deal with something that literally, even just reading now, this is making me mad every single time. Saul was a coward. How are you going to send a boy out to fight your battles? You're the king. He's a boy. And he like, I'm going to fight him. You're like, oh, okay, go ahead. Because you're scared. Like, as a man and as a father, I cannot respect that. I will not ever send my kids out to fight my battles. It's not going to happen. And I'm definitely not going to send somebody else's youngest boy out there. Like, I want to slap Paul every time I read him. Like, I'm going to slap him in his face. Like, that's so cowardly. It just made me mad every time I read it. But Saul had a problem. His problem was that he didn't know what David knew. And he didn't know the one who David knew. Saul knew how to fight in the natural. He knew how to put on his gear. He knew how to go out and fight with his sword and with his shield. He knew how to do that. But he didn't know how to fight against insurmountable odds that require him to have faith in God. And his life proved that out. That's why he tried to clothe David with his armor. He said, you can't fight him. You got to do it like this. You got to do it the way the world says that you have to do it. But David said, I can't do that. Because David knew that he couldn't fight this battle in the natural. He knew that if he went out there and tried to fight this battle in the natural, that he would lose. And then he ran down his credentials to Saul. He said, the lion came, I killed it. The bear came, I killed it. This uncircumcised Philistine that is trying to defy the armies of God will be just like one of them. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to kill him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He refused to do things the world's way. Some of us are having problems defeating our giants because we're trying to fight them in the natural. We're trying to fight our giants in a way that seems right to us, right? A way that seems right in our minds. But Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Saul said, you have to wear this. David said, I can't wear that because if I go out there like that, I'm going to die. But I know a better way. I know another way. Amen? Hallelujah. We can't fight our battles the way the world says that we must fight our battles. The world says you got to go into debt to build up enough credit to get that house or that car. But what does God say? The Lord says, the world says, in order for you to get pregnant, you have to get in vitro because of how old you are. But what does God say? The world says, in order to cure this cancer, you have to get chemotherapy. But what does God say? All of those things are a way, and I'm not saying that they're not God's way, but we have to find out from him what is the way that he wants us to fight. Because if you're fighting in the wrong way, then you're wearing the wrong armor. And if you go out there in the wrong armor, you're not going to win the battle. You're not going to be able to defeat the giant. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. I'm going to read this in the NIV. I know we don't have that, but it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up, up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We have to examine how we approach our problems. We have to examine how we approach our giants. We have to know God's way over the world's way. We have to know what it is. Amen. We have to get a revelation of the way that God wants us to fight so that we can go out and fight and win the battle. Hallelujah. Let's go back to our story. We're going to read verse 40. So in 39, remember David took off that gear. He was like, I can't wear this. Amen. So in verse 40, it said, instead, he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. Then with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. The Philistine came closer and closer to David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he despised him because he was just a youth, healthy and handsome. He said to David, am I a dog that you come against me with sticks? Then he cursed David by his gods. And that is not okay. Amen. He looked at this guy and just looked at what he could see. Like, this little thing, I'm about to crush him. I'm about to destroy him. And then he cursed David by his gods. Come here, the Philistine called to David. And I will give your flesh the birds of the sky and the wild beasts. Now, here comes my favorite part. Amen. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with dagger, spear, and sword. But I come against you in the name of Yahweh, of hosts, the God of Israel's armies. You have defied him, not me. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. Today I will strike you down, cut off your head, and give the corpses of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky and the creatures of the earth. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God. And literally everybody knows this story. No matter you're Christian or not, everybody knows this story. Amen? And he said, and this whole assembly, verse 47, this whole assembly will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. He will hand you over to us, amen? Because those guys were scared, and David wanted them to know that just because he's big, just because he looks insurmountable, it doesn't mean nothing, because we have a God who is able to win the victory. So verse 49 says, David put his hand in the bag, took out a stone, slung it, and hit the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead. He fell on his face to the ground. David defeated the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Even though David had no sword, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David came at him in the name of the Lord God Almighty. He got his sling in his hand, hit him in his head by the power of the Holy Spirit, knocked him down. Then after that, he ran up to him, cut off his head. He wasn't done. Then they pursued the Philistines, wiped them out too. Amen. This young, probably 17, 18 year old boy did something that none of these grown men were willing to do because they were afraid to even fight against the giant. But David knew who was on his team. Amen. And that leads me to the fourth and final point. We come to the fight in the name of the Lord Almighty. Amen. We don't fight the way the world does. We don't come to the fight in the natural. When the enemy rears his head, we come to fight in the name of the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Teshua, the Lord, our victory. Amen. David wasn't concerned about what the world thought. He wasn't worried about how big the giant was. He wasn't worried about how small he was. He wasn't worried about the the weapons and the armor that the giant had, because he knew something that they didn't know. He knew that he carried the name of the Lord of victory on his side. Hallelujah. Can you put up Psalm 91? So we looked at verse 13 already, and it said we would crush and trample the devil underfoot. Can you put up verse 14? Thank you. It says, because you are lovingly devoted to me, I will deliver you. I will protect you because you know my name. Amen. He will protect us because we know his name. That word know there means deep intimacy. We have to deeply intimate. It means that we lovingly are lovingly devoted to his name. Why will he deliver you? Because you're lovingly devoted to him. Why will he protect you? Because you're lovingly devoted to his name. You know his name. Somebody say, there is victory in the name of the Lord. Say it again. There is victory in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord gave me a great illustration for this. And you guys know how I love my illustrations. But so my children, so for instance, I might say to my daughter, go and tell one of your brothers to come down here and vacuum the floor. So she'll go up over to the stairs and she'll say, one of them, come down here and vacuum the floor. No response. She'll go back over there. I said, come down here and vacuum the floor. Nothing, right? I said, Nia, say, Daddy said, come down here and vacuum the floor. Daddy said, come down here and vacuum the floor. Right? I hear them running downstairs. Next thing you know, I hear the vacuum cleaner running. Why? Why at the mention of my name did they come immediately? It's because in my house, there is power in that name. If one of my kids want to get something done, guess what they drop? Daddy said. As soon as Daddy said, it's getting done. Right? Because in my house, there is power in that name. We have a name that is above every other name. Amen. We have been given that name. So when the giant presents itself, you say to the giant, giant, Daddy said you have to fall. When terminal illness presents itself, you say illness, sickness, cancer, Daddy said you have to go. You look at that barren womb and you say, womb, Daddy says you have to produce fruit. You look at that mountain of debt called school loans and you say, debt, you have to fall. Daddy said you got to go. Amen. There is power in the name of the Lord. Now, let me make this relevant for us right now today. Philippians 2:10-11 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Acts 4:2. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven and earth by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. We fight our battles in the name of the Lord Almighty. We fight our battles in the name of Jesus. When the enemy comes against you like a flood, you lift up the banner of Jesus' name against him. When we know the name of Jesus and when we call the name of Jesus, our circumstance have to change. He said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. You lift up the banner of the name of Jesus and you wipe out what the enemy is doing in your life. Too many of us are letting the devil bully us, push us around, knock our lives around. I'm not saying nothing bad is not going to happen. He's going to try to bring that stuff into your life. But we don't have to let that stuff persist because we have the name that is above every name. We have a name that's bigger than that giant. We have a name that's bigger than that circumstance. We have a name that is able to make that circumstance fall. It's able to lift that valley up. It's able to move that mountain out of the way. Amen. And we have to understand it. We have to know it. We have to have an encounter with who God is in our lives. Amen. And then we can use that name to transform ourselves. Hallelujah. I know how I fight my battles. I fight my battles in the name of the Lord Almighty. Exodus 15:3 states, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. He wants to fight for you. Amen. He wants to take down every avenue of loss, death, and destruction that arises in your life. He does not want those things to overwhelm us. And that's why he followed that up by saying, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We have to begin to fight for the abundant life through the name of Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Our God is worthy to be praised. Can we just take some time to worship him?